This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
That's right, you're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Avi Miller. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Our first guests this evening are two young men who are working to build the resilience and acceptance of GLBTI people in Australia and break down the common cycle of negative self-image, anxiety and depression before it begins. Brendan and Adam, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you.
What the hell are you doing?
Good question. So essentially, we really want to break the cycle of people ending up in that space where depression and anxiety becomes all too common. And we know that 80% of LGBT people in any given year experience serious anxiety. That's huge. That is massively disproportionate.
It's something we talk about a lot on here on Hide and Seek, because it's something that I think our social networks, I mean, we know it ourselves. And we know that our friends have anxiety and depression as well. And it's often a conversation that happens in our community that doesn't happen in other communities.
And because it happens so often, that caused us to look at it. And ultimately, there are ways you can prevent some of it. It doesn't have to be that way. But there are so many fantastic interventions in our community, but most of them come that little bit too late when you're already in a space where you're starting to deal with the effects of depression and anxiety and the risky behaviours that follow. So what we really want to do is help people get to it a bit earlier and start dealing with building resilience so that you don't go down that path.
So was there a particular, particular motivation or event or something that brought you to saying, hey, we actually need something that starts earlier?
I think so. I mean, actually, it was probably a cafe conversation, having both read a book about how difficult it is for all of us in that moment where you sort of go, actually, that's kind of our story and it's the story of just about everybody we know. And then, you know, a couple of apparently clever brains got together and went, we could do something about that. and we think building resilience and leadership skills and, you know, providing good role models and influences for people can have a huge impact on that.
Now, Brendan, how do you do that? How do you build resilience amongst a community?
Well, as Adam mentioned, there's a lot of interventions that happen after the fact, when you're already in a pretty bad space. But we think that there's some earlier interventions that you can potentially use, such as mentoring programs, for example. And that's what we're starting on with Start Out Australia.
Now, you've got a personal connection to mentoring.
I do.
In that your uncle commenced the program called Big Brother, Big Sister here in Australia.
He did. He brought it to Australia back in the 80s.
So for our listeners, what is that program?
So that is essentially a similar idea where you're bringing disadvantaged youth and connecting them with older role models in a safe and structured environment, with the idea that they would build personal skills, social skills, etc.
Yeah. And from our perspective, you know, there are lots of places young LGBT people can go for information, and not all of them are necessarily good. You know, there are some very popular applications where you can get advice and guidance from older people. We don't necessarily think that that serves all of the purposes for which people might go looking for support. So we want to create a digital space, essentially, that attracts young people and allows them to find good role models and good information.
How do you, the cynic in me asks, how do you ensure good role models and good advice?
Well, some of this is where it gets kind of clever. And what we're first of all, you have as the chairman of your board the guy who invented mentoring programs in Australia. So we're bringing people in to work with us who really are experts in this space and who get how to pick people and select people. Another of our board members is a HR professional with a really big background in screening people to get the right people. So the first thing is we've got some protections there. But the second thing is, people are innately good. I like to perhaps naively think at times. But we're building a really structured program where it will be probably more challenging to get in as a mentor, and you need to prove your credentials and prove you're a good person, and there'll be training and you'll be police checked and all of that kind of good stuff. And we want to make it really easy and accessible for young people who are looking for mentors. So on one side of the ledger, it's going to be a lot harder to play than on the other.
And I think some people would immediately go, "It's because we're talking about doing a lot of this online."
Yeah.
And immediately in people's minds, that's an unsafe thing to do. It would let people run away with things in a non-safe environment, essentially. So we kind of take a different opinion and tend to think that there's more security you can put in place online. You're able to control more things and track and record and understand in some ways.
Yeah, so I guess from your perspective or from the organization's perspective, I would imagine that there is, this conversation is being recorded for training and testing purposes, but in some cases it's being recorded.
Call is important to us.
Yes, it may be recorded for external monitoring of the mentor-mentee relationship.
And definitely, and part of the really cool thing we think we're doing, because mentoring is not new.
I mean,
it goes back to the way dark ages.
Yes.
But the way we want to deliver this is first in a really technologically savvy kind of way, and that'll allow us to create a whole bunch of checks and balances and monitoring and evaluation around the relationship to make sure that it's on track and that it's helping people. And the technology will be kind of clever, and that's really the core of the program for us.
There you go.
I get to ask a question. Look at me. Look, Mom, all grown up. I was going to ask what came first in the sense of did you build that board and that HR and that structure, or did you build the technology? I mean, is the technology already there? Are you using something that exists? Or
the technology is still being developed.
Okay.
And so that's why we've started with getting the foundation right.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was really going to be quite important to get a good, credible board so that we could get a really good structured program and we could start to build an organisation and raise the money
that
it's going to take to do this in a really kind of clever, cool way. Brendan's a tech dude. He gets that in a way that I can't even begin to imagine. And so we've started...
Aren't they annoying? People sometimes.
The resident.
Those IT ones.
You did say this call was being recorded. I'm not going to say that. So we've started talking to some really cool companies about the technology.
Do you worry, however, that the requirement on heavy technological use might disenfranchise your mentors, who are obviously going to be of an older generation and who may not have the familiarity with the technology that your younger mentees might have?
I think you might be surprised about that. I work in my real life with a very significantly aged workforce, and there are a lot of surprises about people's ability to take on technology, and I think we underestimate people who are older.
Sure, but it means that your mentors have to come from a group that is at least comfortable with technology.
And that's probably important anyway, because they're dealing with a group of people who are very comfortable with technology, and so there's some similarities needed there. But not everything we do will also be online. There will be some offline work,
okay.
But the technology is a really fairly key part of it.
Well, we might have a bit of an exploration about what defines a mentor and a mentee very shortly. You're on Hard and Sick on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Hey, this is Dan Savage of Savage Love and the Savage Lovecast, and you are listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only LGBTQI LFTSQ again A community radio station.
Andrew the Apprentice here with Avi Miller on your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. This evening we're talking to Brendan and Adam from Start Out Australia. They're building a new whole whiz-bang fandangled mentoring system online.
And beautifully said.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
Is there an app for that? I mean, surely there's an app for that.
Well, there might just be.
So essentially the concept is to get together younger GLBTI people with older GLBTI people and who are role models and talk about how to overcome issues regarding specifically anxiety and depression, but also just general skills and life skills.
And we're starting out first, though, with the fact that we all grow up initially with some degree of a feeling of shame and having to deal with that process of understanding what it is to be gay and to have to come out and to deal with all of that stuff. So that's the first step. And if we start to address some of that, maybe anxiety and depression doesn't necessarily follow.
So what makes a mentor?
I think a really good mentor comes from a couple of places. The first is someone who's, you know, it's about being there and having done that. And it's someone who's grown up and understood the pressures of what it's like to first grow up gay and to deal with that aspect of shame and to start to come out the other side of that and to get a job and to know what it means to come out and then come out again every day at work. So it's someone who's been around the block.
But it's not necessarily an age thing either.
No, not necessarily at all. It's about experience and it's about life stage more than anything.
And also, like Brendan, I would imagine you'd also be have to cater for mentees who are not necessarily young either.
Absolutely. So it's not necessarily defined as a young person being mentored by an older person. It's not really, it's as Adam said, it's not necessarily an age thing.
Which is probably a little bit different to the traditional concept of mentoring. When we're not necessarily talking about, you know, people 15 to 18 being mentored by people in their 50s.
No, definitely not. And so it's really about the first, you know, the first going back to that selection process is we want to talk about people's experience and what they understand and what they know about the world. And we can match people based on just that.
I was actually going to ask you, what have you started to think about the matching process and how that might actually work? I mean, how you will match. And I imagine the time is probably a factor as well. If you've got a young GLBTI person or older or somebody who's come to the app as a mentee and said, right, I need help with this. There's obviously a time factor involved in getting them connected with someone as rapidly as possible, one would hope. What is the process that you might go through to sort of match?
Well, one of the things we really want to do and you know, why we want to talk to people like you right now, it's about starting to build awareness so we actually start to build up that case of people who will be available to be mentors who we've been able to screen and understand so that when the floodgates open, that, you know, that we're ready and that we've got a group of people who are available. But it is also about some, you know, managing expectations too.
So what are you looking for now? What are your immediate requirements?
Frankly, some cash. that really probably is the starting point. I mean, what we're trying to do is going to take some money. So we need a lot of love and support, but we also need some help from some wallets.
Now, you've started to plan your first fundraising event in February. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. We've got a lovely venue lined up, which we'll give a good plug to now, Bramble and Vine.
Right.
It's a restaurant in Carlton North, and it's run by two absolutely gorgeous girls who used to run a really successful restaurant in Queensland, and they got flooded out and packed up and moved to Melbourne. So they're part of the community and they've offered their support to run this event.
That's brilliant.
So between them and our legal partners, Norton Rose Fulbright, who are jumping in to try and help us out, our first fundraiser, yeah, on the first. People can book online now.
1st of Feb.
Yep. 1st of Feb, sorry, yes. that's probably a bit of helpful extra detail there, isn't it? So 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon on the 1st of February. So it's at the back end of midsummer. So as you're finishing celebrating the awesomeness that is our community,
yes,
you can come along and chip in a little bit more awesome. And we're going to have some great food and great drinks and some opportunities for people to chip in and help us get this thing started.
Well, Brendan and Adam, thank you so much for joining us and letting us know about the program. Look, keep us in the loop, and I think you're welcome back here anytime.
Yes, indeed.
To let us know what's happening and how our community can continue to support.
And if you need a couple of mentors that can just talk shit on radio, you know where to find us.
I feel like we've found our soulmates. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, guys. You're on Hard and Sick on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.